I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word.
When I stumble and I sin, condemnation pressing in,
I will stand on every promise of your word.
Of your word,
we will stand
on every promise of your word, your word, your word.
Sacrifice and priest, one time each year, one man in fear sought God with blood of beast.
Still mighty cherubs blocked the way, so sinners could not pass.
In curtains sewn on golden throne, they stopped the rabble fast.
Savior's throne.
With one great voice we will rejoice, all praise to Christ alone.
All praise to Christ alone.
like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
And that's why we're here today, for to understand that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and it is wonderful to realize I'm saved and I know it, and it's not a proud thing, it's a wonderful thing. 1 John 5:13. All of our texts this morning are from 1 John. I want you to read 1 John. 1 John 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to read it every week. By the time we're finished, two more weeks, you should have read it 10, 20 times, because it's the book of knowing for sure you're saved, because of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe. You've claimed it. You've repented. You've received on the name of all that He is, His character, His holiness, His attributes, His actions of the Son of God. He's deity. That ye may know. Is that good? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. It is wonderful to catch that and realize I have it real quickly here, and it's all mine. Let's jump down to the slide of 1 John 3:19. Jump down to the slide 3:19 there. Very good. Paul is going to come and read for us here 1 John chapter 2 and 3. So that is very good. Come on up, Paul, and read that for us.
We'll start off in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you're using your pew Bible, it's on page 900. And if once you find it, you can stand up, please. First John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And then chapter 3, starting in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our text mainly is chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. A little confusing text there, but it's a wonderful text, and we're going to understand that this morning. But to know that we're saved is wonderful. You know, I've got a ticket. If you're going on an airplane ride, today you don't even get a ticket till you get to the airport, and you slide your card through, and a ticket pops up. Sometimes you don't even get anything. It just pops up, and you go. And you like to have a receipt. You like to have something that gives you there a picture. We have all our cell phones today, and you can take pictures of everything, can't you? And it's amazing. You can get the tickets on your cell phones, and you realize that I'm in. It's mine. I've got it. And it's wonderful. You know, you have a title, or you have a deed to a house, or you have a confirmation number. You have adoption papers. Isn't that wonderful to realize? This family adopted me. And you have a birth certificate. You have a baptism certificate. You know, I graduated from a college and I have the papers to prove it. You have assurance. I want you to know you need to have that good assurance of your salvation. It's not of you, it's of him. And you got it. And once you realize it's in there, you've got it. And you need to live excited because you're saved and it's wonderful. One of the greatest things to catch that is the assurance that he's our creator. And we see that in our text here in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, they knoweth him from the beginning. He's your creator. And it's wonderful to realize that, man, he's my controller. He's my protector. He's God. He created the heavens, the earth. He did creation in 6 days. And he did it. And I believe it. And it's just that simple. And you realize, thank you, God. And you know the Creator. You've experienced the word know. You have a relationship. You know the Creator. That's how you know you're saved. Right there in the same verse, it says, they know the Father. And they know Father God. And he is a good Father. And you realize, I know him. I not only know the Creator and I enjoy his creation. And every day you see it, you should just be excited. Yesterday when the sun was shining, was you excited about the creation and the creator? And you should be saying thank you. You should be doing that also when it snows. Okay, but it's all right. But to know God as Father, to realize a relationship that you have with him, he's your provider, your protector, and you experience that he's your Father. And it says we know him as Father, a relationship with him, and it's wonderful to catch that. And thirdly, it says that he is righteous in 1 John 2:29, that he is the righteous one. It says, if ye know that he is righteous, and we say, he's the one that is totally holy. He's the one that's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. And we believe that. We know the Creator. We know the Father God. We know he is the righteous one. And it's wonderful to catch that. John 17:3. Don't turn there. Stay in 1 John. And this is eternal life. Definition. That they, what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And you realize, wow, that you know him as Father. And that's how you know you're saved. It's wonderful. And then you realize that he is the righteous one. And then he the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit given to us. And it's wonderful in chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 and verse 11. We have the Spirit. And the Spirit is our comforter. And we realize that we have this in 1 John. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And He teaches us. As you read the Bible, God talks. As you think through the Bible, God moves in your mind. And you realize, I'm His child, and He talks to me as I read my Bible. And the Holy Spirit, as I start getting uncomfortable and worrying and doubting, He gives me peace. And you realize He's there. And you know Him. You experience Him. And you realize the Holy Spirit is guiding me, is directing me. As I read His Word, He's talking to me. As I pray, He's there. As I try to walk through life, He walks with me. And He brings people into my life that, wow, isn't that exciting? That you get to live with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's assurance. You know Him. You know the Holy Spirit. You're experiencing the Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful to catch that. Also in 1 John, it says, you know Christ's return. You know Christ's return. That it is wonderful in 1 John 3:2. Look at it. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He doth appear. Is that right? He's coming back. Is that right? He's coming back. You know that. And that gives you assurance. That real man, He's coming back. And His return is here. And it's wonderful. In Revelation 1:7, we just realize that the clouds, He's going to come in the clouds one day. And it's going to happen. And every time we look in the clouds, mind thinks, Jesus is coming. He's coming. And because you experienced, you know it. The assurance is there. And it's wonderful. In the same verse in 1 John 3:2, you're going to be like Him. It says, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him and we shall see Him as He is. I don't quite understand that. But it says, I'm going to see Him, and somehow I'm going to be like Him in my everlasting body, and it's going to be wonderful. Why not know? I know. I haven't experienced His return yet, but I believe it. I haven't experienced His likeness yet, but I'm working on it. But I see His creation. I see Him as my Father. I see His righteousness, His holiness, and I experience the Holy Spirit moving in me, and it's wonderful. And finally, we know His reward in 1 John 2:28. We will not be ashamed. We'll be confident when we stand before Him. And it's wonderful to realize that, wow, you know, in Hebrews 11:6, you know, it is wonderful. It says, we believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. We know it. That it gives us confidence that He is up there remembering my motives, remembering my efforts, even though they're meager and they fall apart sometimes. He's going to reward me. And it's exciting to think that I won't be ashamed at His coming. And it's wonderful to catch that, because He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Aren't you glad it doesn't say He is the rewarder of them that are perfect? And diligent. Preacher, I'm not very much, but I'm trying diligently to walk with God. And it's wonderful to know that and to experience that. We've worked ourselves real quickly here. Aren't you proud of me? I did that in 10 minutes. Should take. That's amazing. Isn't it? Turn with me to chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. That's where I wanted to get to. It says, hereby, verse 18, you're told to love everybody, and you're told to realize that if you show love. And then it says, and hereby that we love, verse 19, we know that we are of the truth. When God's love starts flowing out, that was last week, you know that you're of the truth. I normally, most people realize that, man, I don't like this person, but all of a sudden, after I got saved, next time I saw him, I was wanting to hate him, and I just couldn't. There was love there. There was forgiveness there. I don't know where it came from because I wanted just to kill him. But God's with me. He's in me. And I have assurance. And hereby, because of the love indeed and truth, verse 18, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 20, and if our heart condemn us, I studied on this. This is a powerful passage here. This is great. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what? Then have we what?
Confidence
towards God. I think it's important that it's all right that we know that we struggle with knowing we're saved. Because once we look at it, we really don't deserve it. And sometimes we definitely don't act like it. And sometimes we don't think like it. And we say, how can I be saved? I want you to know it's good to struggle with that, because on our side of the issue, we can't conceive of it sometimes. But it's from God. And once He's in you, He's not going to quit. And it's wonderful to catch that. I have a video I want to show. It's only 2 minutes long. And this is by David Platt. Listen to this. This is really good.
Deception is a very dangerous thing. So it's wise to ask, how do I know if I'm truly a follower of Christ? And Scripture even encourages us in places like 2 Corinthians 13:5 to test ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And so we need to ask the question first and foremost, have we repented and believed? Have we turned from our sin and ourselves and trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord? Have we turned aside from our every effort to save ourselves and said, only in Christ, by faith alone in Him can I be made right before God? Have you leaned completely on Him for salvation? Have you submitted your life to Him as the Savior and Lord that He is? And so, have you repented and believed? These are questions that Scripture beckons us to ask. And then Scripture gives us books like 1 John. I would encourage anybody struggling with assurance of salvation to spend time in 1 John. And 1 John's written so that we might have assurance, we might know that we are followers of Christ. And that assurance is based on the past work of Christ on a cross for us and our continually believing in that, and then the effects of that in our lives. There's no question that the Spirit of God assures us of His presence with us as we walk with Him, as we obey Him. And that's part of what 1 John is about, is the more we walk with Christ, the more we obey Christ, the more we live out the life of Christ, the more our assurance grows. It's not that we're earning salvation by what we're doing. It's that we're assured of the salvation we already have because we see evidence of the Spirit of Christ working in us. So I would encourage anybody who's wrestling with these things, these are good things to wrestle with. So examine, what does Scripture teach about what it really means to follow Christ? Repent and believe. Has this been a reality? Has this become a reality in my life? And then spend time in 1 John and ask questions about it. Am I continually believing in Christ? Am I continually following Christ? And where are areas where I need to repent of sin that's creeping back into my life? And as the Spirit works that conviction in our heart, the Spirit's work is actually, in a sense, affirming us that we're His child, and He's drawn us into deeper and deeper intimacy with Himself. These are good questions to ask. They're questions we need to ask.
1 John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, hereby we know that we are of the truth by our love, affirms it, and shall assure our hearts before Him. It just states that, God, You are in me. I know You are in me because Your love is coming out of me. And you assure your heart in it. You're not perfect by no means, but you realize that this is a cause and effect. There's fruits of the Spirit flowing out of you. You're arriving at full assurance. It takes time and hope of faith and understanding that we are of the truth, do belong to God, are loved by Him with an everlasting love, are chosen by Him unto salvation, are His adopted and regenerated ones, have passed from death into life. It's wonderful. He gave it to you. It's grace. It's free. He did it all. He paid the full price. You give Him your sins, He gives you His grace. And it's a free gift. And you say, wow, that's so hard. And then it starts showing up. That's the whole issue. It starts showing up. You're enjoying the Creator. You realize He's my Father. He's going to protect me. You start believing those things and you start practicing. And He's righteous. And you realize He's good. And then the Holy Spirit is teaching, guiding, convicting, helping. Huh? And He's coming out of you, giving you joy and peace. And then He says, and you'll know He's coming back. You start living in light of that. I'm going to be like Him, so let's get at it right now. And then He's going to reward me. And that assurance just starts growing. You might struggle with it. It's all right to struggle with it. And then you realize, I got it. And then you need to claim it once you've got it. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 is a tough one. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I was looking at the commentators. They said this is either God showing mercy, He's more merciful than your heart, or God is more strict. And most of them took it as this. It says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. Sometimes you have doubts. Sometimes you have fears. Sometimes you have a guilty conscience. Are you perfect? No. And your heart will come at you and you'll have conviction and you'll wonder, man, am I really saved? You're saved because He saved you. And that's so important to grasp that, and you don't ever take it for granted. Well, I said a prayer back when I was 6 years old and I'm saved. I want you to know it's got to be alive today. It's got to be alive. It's got to be growing. And it's neat to have growth. And that growth, you realize, wow, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. The main player in the film our brother showed was his boy. His boy at seven years old. That's cool. Now, he told you all about camp, but Dad and Mom had to tell him. Okay. But one day it's going to be his. You know, right now, he thinks it's his camp, but it's not. It's Mom and Dad's. Okay. But one day it's going to be his. Is that right? So we start growing in our grace. We get saved, and then it all starts happening, and we faith and we believe and we realize, wow, He's the Creator. I'm going to enjoy creation. He's Father God. He can take care of me today. Is that right? And I believe. You start knowing it. And He's righteous. I can follow Him. And the Holy Spirit lives within me. And it's trying to come out of me in so many decisions and thoughts and attitudes and actions. And it's wonderful. And you realize it's not you, it's Him. That's when you really know it. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And then you believe in His return. And you look for it. And you're going to be like Him. And you know He's going to be rewarded, and all of this just gives you great assurance, and you realize it. But there's doubts arise. Verse 20, if our hearts condemn us, man, you know, we start feeling guilty, we start feeling undeserving, we're not perfect. He says, folks, God's word is greater than your heart. Catch that. God's word is greater than your heart. Well, I don't deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. Huh? I don't act like it sometimes. No, you don't act like it sometimes. But God's word says He saved you. And that's the joy of it. And that's the thrill of it, that you realize He's with me. He guided me yesterday. He helped me. I was about to sin and I didn't. I was about to get mad at this person and I didn't. You need to realize He's with me. And if He's with me, it says, if your heart condemn you and you start picking yourself apart for not being perfect, it says, God is greater and He knows all things. Isn't that great stuff? And then verse 21, it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have great confidence towards God. That's when you have great assurance. You realize, He saved me. Now, it does take some time and struggle with it. It's all right. I think that's one of the first things you got to settle. But you got to settle it. You got to settle it. You know, you got to settle it, and you got to realize, that's mine. I have it. And you realize God gave it to me. We struggle with some things. One of the preachers I was looking at on this just said, you might be having a bad day and everything's going wrong and you feel like quitting, you feel like giving up, but you need to stop and say, but I'm saved. And you might be having, you know, you might be told that you have diabetes. And I don't like it. And I don't understand it. And my wife will not let me eat any more chocolate. But I'm saved. Is that right? Because He saved me, and we must come to that position that, you know, I have assurance, not because I'm perfect, because my heart condemns me. I do stupid stuff sometimes. Is that right? I do sinful stuff sometimes. But it says, God is greater than my heart because He saved me. And the Holy Spirit came into me, and if I read my Bible and He starts talking to me and guiding me and teaching me and giving me joy and giving me peace, it's wonderful. And when my heart starts condemning me for the silly, sinful things that I do, I need to open my Bible again and wait till He starts talking to me again and realize that I'm saved. He doesn't come and go. Do you know if you could lose your salvation, you'd lose it every time you sin? It's grace. You need to come to full grips. Now, if you're not living for God, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not trying to get victory over sin, if you're not trying to love your neighbor, keep His commandments, the Bible says, if you love God, you keep His commandments. So if you are not keeping His commandments, you do not what? Love God. Whoa. So it's a process, so don't get too haughty there. But the issue is, once the Holy Spirit starts moving through you and in you, it is wonderful to realize, I'm saved. You know, Andrew adopted Liam to be his son, okay? And he is a fisher. Was he born a fisher? No. Is he a fisher now? Yes. How does he know? Because he got a little piece of paper. And there were about 25 of us there when it happened. The adoption. And he's in. Is that right? He's in. Now sometimes he might not feel in. When he's 16, 17, there'll be a day where he doesn't feel in. Is that right? He might wonder, who's my real parents? Who's my real... But he's one of us. Hello, Liam. Hello, Grandpa. You know, he's one of us. He's one of us. And you realize, wow. I want you to know, if you are trying to walk with God and you've experienced the Holy Spirit teaching you, guiding you, giving you joy, giving you peace, leading you, helping you, strengthening you, encouraging you, you're saved. And every time you struggle and your heart condemns you, don't go down that feelings trail. Say, yeah, I'm guilty, but I'm still saved. Because He's my Creator. He's my Father. He's the righteous one. The Holy Spirit come alive in me. He's coming back. I'm going to be like Him one day, and He's going to reward me. Thus, I got it. I got it. He's mine. He chose me. And it always comes back that He chose me from the foundation of the world. And I love that verse. It should never make you proud. You should never get haughty. You should say, well, I'm saved. I can do anything I want. I want you to know, if you say that, you're really not saved. Because if you're truly saved, you're humbled. Is that right? because it's not you, it's all Him. And it should be a very humbling experience, but it should have confidence. Confidence. Are you sure you're saved? Certainly, He saved me. You know, Liam, are you certainly you're a fisher? I have the paper to prove it. You know, Grandpa was there, Grandma was there, Miss Hendricks was there, all of us were there. I'm a fisher. You're a Christian. If you don't know for sure you're saved, make sure this morning. Huh? If you're struggling with doubts, make certain that the Holy Spirit's in you and you've sensed Him drawing you and encouraging you and lifting you and forgiving you and helping you and guiding you and teaching you and comforting you and giving you peace and giving you joy. It's wonderful. And since He's doing that, you got it. And go back to it, and your heart will condemn you sometimes because you feel guilty, and you are guilty. You're not perfect by no means. But He saved you. Thus, you got it. You got it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I trust this morning that you grab it. Say, preacher, I needed this message on knowing for sure I'm saved. I struggle with it very much. And this morning, for the first time, I understand it much, much more. And I'm just going to settle the issue because He saved me. And my heart condemns me sometimes because I'm not perfect. But He saved me. I might not feel it, but He saved me. And the Holy Spirit talks to me and creates. Talks to me. My Father comforts me. I got it. He's in my life. And I'm committed to Him, but He's more committed to me. Preacher, I needed this message on knowing for sure I'm saved. Can I see a hand? Can I see a hand? Many hands, many hands, many hands, many hands, many hands. Amen. 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 If you're here this morning, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I don't have that. I just have doubts. I don't have any Holy Spirit talking to me and guiding me and helping me and giving me peace and joy. And read my Bible, nothing happens. When I pray, nothing happens. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Folks, you need to deal with that and get saved because there's wonderful benefits of being saved. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Just lift your hand. I will not embarrass you. Side wings. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Any others? Any others? Balcony, main floor, side wings. I see your hand. In the quietness of our hour, it's just you, me, and God. People's raised their hands. If you would like for me to get a lady or a man to talk with you right now, everybody's got their heads bowed, eyes closed, just you, me, and God. If you would like for me to get someone to privately talk with you right now that you know you're saved, I can make that happen right now. If you would like me to do that, just look up at me and I'll make that happen. If not, keep your head down and I'll just pray with you. Christians, assurance. Grab it. Because God gives it. It's not of you. It's from Him. Lord Jesus, move every heart to great assurance in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Experience knowing you're saved. Just as much as you are here this morning, just as much as you breathe. Now, if God isn't alive in your life and you just have a prayer to pray or you signed a card somewhere in your youth, you need to check that out because the devil wants you to think you are saved when you're not saved. But it's so important to realize that, wow, preacher, I walk and talk with Him every day in the garden. Is that right? We talk and we walk and He leads me and guides me. And it's just awesome. I experience Him 10 or 12 times a day. It's awesome. Man, the devil come knock at your door and say, you're a sinner. Yeah, I am, but I'm saved. Huh?
but I'm saved. He saved me.